And I pray your spirit would just discern truth. Lord, I pray you just anoint me to speak the things of you. And so just open our hearts to you. We thank you that you reveal things in your word that we had never otherwise know. And so we look at this, especially this morning, that you would be our teacher. So we just thank you. We give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Look at a verse here. Daniel chapter 7, 2 through 3. Daniel chapter 7, 2 through 3. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. Oh, Lord Jesus. And this is, if we love the Bible, and it's the inspired word of God, and so there's an unfolding revelation. Therefore, it's the truth, the whole truth. Everything's. And so we're going to talk this morning, and we're going to talk about end times. And I just want to share a couple of things with you. I've looked at this over the years. I have 35 years in ministry. I've never preached on the subject for good reason. But preaching through Daniel, you're just right in your face, so you're stuck with it. And I couldn't skip the book of Daniel, although I thought about it. But I thought, no, I got to go through it. But there's a variety of views. I mean, there's godly people that hold a multitude of different views. And, you know, at one time I had this view. I was just totally 100% in it and studied it. And I thought, this is it. And then after a while, I saw some stuff and I changed my views. And so I went on the other side. And so I was totally convinced this was the way it was. And now I'm back here and I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know what it is. So you look at that, there's that many different things. And again, it's godly people have different views. So as I go through Daniel, my attempt was that, all right, I am going to go systematically and I'm just going to look independently and just walk through this and see what the Lord reveals. And I'm going to share that with you. Now, what I'll do is I go through this, and this is going to be kind of methodical. I'm just going to kind of read through this. I'm not going to ad lib a lot. But as I go through this, what I will do, what I'll try to do, remember to do, I'm going to point out the things that are most people agree on. Then I'll point out the things where people disagree on. And then what they disagree on, then I give you my thoughts. But so, because what you do is you build a case, and it affects where you come out like anything else, okay? So I'm presenting this to you, and hopefully that you'll have the tools that you can look at it and determine, hey, what the Lord is going to return. By the way, everybody agrees on that. He's coming back. They just kind of not sure how and when, but they all agree he's coming back. But the Lord took a lot of time to show us some things about how this worked out. So he must want us to know. He must want us to know. So I'm being obedient to teach through it. So, but you need to be, have on your, look at the scriptures and you discern. And, you know, I'm going to make some assumptions, but I'll tell you what they are, and I'm going to build that case. And at least if you disagree, you'll know where to disagree. And by the way, there's plenty of room here to disagree and still love each other and have different views, because Jesus is coming back anyway, no matter what you believe. Okay? Hallelujah. So here we are. Daniel has this vision, and he sees this. Now, here's a couple of things. We're going to look at this. These things are pictures, but they're communicating things. You have these four great beasts, and they're coming up out of the great sea. Now, here's a point. You take a note. When stuff comes out of the great sea, it means out of humanity. So out of the humanity, these four beasts come. That's what that great sea means. It's not water, okay? It's representative of humanity. And so you see these four great beasts coming out of the sea. So Daniel sees this. And then he says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, it says this. These four great beasts are four kings who will rise out of the earth. Now, this, I believe this impacts us and like it says in Revelation, you will receive a blessing if you read it. So the Lord says this, we will receive a blessing for this as we look at this whole view. So are you ready to look at these beasts? Yeah? All right. Before we look at the beast, we have to look at this. A little teaser there. As you look at when you start looking at the end times, And this is something that the Lord has, I will say, that really has shown me this time. The Lord is building a foundation, and he's starting in the book of Daniel. So here's another piece of information for you. If anyone wants to study the end times, do not go to Revelations, the last book of the Bible. Go to Daniel. Daniel is the place where the whole end times prophecy starts. So you go to Daniel. And the first place where it starts is Daniel chapter 2, and it's this statue. This statue is the key on how you're going to interpret the end times, right here. So Daniel had a vision of this statue, first of all, in Daniel chapter 2. So you have this statue, and I'm going to briefly go over it because we went over it once. The statue, Daniel interprets the statue to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. That's Babylon. And he says, there's an arms and chest of silver, and that's Persia. And there is a stomach and thighs of bronze, and that's the Greco-Macedonian Empire by Alexander the Great. Then he says, you have iron legs, and that's the old Roman Empire. And he says, that's what this statue stands for. These are these countries, the powerful countries that are coming. And then he says, it has 2 feet with 10 toes, with clay mixed with iron. This is another kingdom. This is the one people disagree on. They don't disagree about the gold head, the silver shoulders, the bronze middle, or the iron legs. Everybody's on board with that. What they disagree with is on the feet. That's a disagreement, all right? Then Daniel says, there is a stone uncut by human hands that comes down and crashes into the feet and destroys the whole statue. The stone uncut by human hands is Jesus Christ. Okay, most everybody agrees with that. It's Jesus. So this statue gets laid out by Jesus, a stone uncut by human hands. And then it says, out of the dust, there is a mountainous kingdom that covers the whole earth that comes out of this stone, this uncut stone, which is Jesus Christ. And that's the kingdom of God. So this is the kingdom of God that grows and covers the whole world. Now what you have here is a summation of this. Earthly kingdoms, Jesus coming, destroying that, and establishing his kingdom. Basically, everybody agrees with that. So what could be the issue, right? The issue is this. The point of disagreement is this. Among God-loving people is the 10 toes. What nation is that? People disagree of what that is, what it actually is, and who it is. So that's a disagreement. People disagree about the timing of this rock coming from heaven, uncut from heaven. Some people say they feel it's the first coming of Christ, and it hits, and it's the establishment of the church, and this kingdom is the spiritual church spreading throughout the world. Whereas other people say, no, it's Jesus at the second coming, destroying the statue, and him dealing and destroying all evil in mankind, eradicating evil in his earthly kingdom here at his second coming. All right? Anybody wonder why I believe? I think when I look at this, I believe that this statue, I have a name for this statue, okay? I think this is a prophecy of dirt, okay? Now, the reason I said that, I could say a prophecy of kingdoms or something like that, but I want you to remember it. A prophecy of dirt. Now, what I mean about dirt, it's a prophecy of just like soil. This is showing that these kingdoms were on this earth. Okay, they were on this earth, and they controlled pieces of this earth. They were huge kingdoms. I mean, massive kingdoms. And so their kingdom of dirt. Babylon had this kingdom of dirt. Greece had, Persia had this huge kingdom of dirt. Greece had this huge kingdom of dirt. Rome had a massive kingdom of dirt. Therefore, it means the feet is a kingdom of dirt. Therefore, it also means the eternal kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of dirt. Meaning, it's Jesus ruling on this dirt. Did y'all follow me with that? Now, the reason I'm saying that, because this is the point of disagreement. That Jesus will come and he will stand on this dirt. And he will rule this dirt. Okay? So, the statue in Daniel chapter 2 is a prophecy of dirt. And so it's going to impact the interpretation, because if it's a kingdom of dirt, then it has to be Jesus' second coming, not his first coming. And it has to be one of destruction, not one of, oh, Jesus loves us, and we're all going to come to know Jesus and have a home in heaven, which is true, but that's not what this is. When he comes back here, Jesus, the sweet loving Jesus, is going to deal with mankind, unbelieving mankind. He's basically going to cleanse the world of evil people and sin. The second coming. Like some people say, oh, I just can't wait till Jesus come back. I'm thinking, maybe not right now. You know, because it's going to be, I mean, it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be, his second coming is not going to be a pleasant time for the people on the earth. Now, we good? Prophecy of dirt. Now that's my, the way I'm looking at that, that's my thinking. And so the point of disagreement, the 10 toes, okay, that's a point of disagreement, all right? So if people have an issue, the rest of it's not. The timing of the uncut stone Jesus coming, the timing is a question with people. They have disagreements there. So here we started off in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to have principles to understand, okay? And you're totally, you know, I'm totally for y'all disagreeing with what I say, but I want you to understand how it comes, how it unfolds. Then you can look at it and you can make your own conclusions. And we came up with these 6 points on interpreting scripture based on this statue. And here they are. The first one, the foundation for understanding end times prophecy. And I do mean this is the foundation. This is the key to understand end times prophecy. Number one, the first mention principle. In all of scripture, by the way, this is a great principle, the first mention. If you're ever looking at a topic and you want to understand it, you go into the Bible where it was first mentioned. And then you follow it all the way through and you get an understanding of it. Here's the first mention principle is this statue on end times. This is the first. So you go to the statue first to understand end times prophecy. This is where you start. You build on it. Number two, 10 toes, 10 crowns, 10 kings, 10 nations, 10 horns, all these typically reflect an end time view. So you say, oh, it's got 10 heads, or it's got 10 horns, or it's got, we just jump the end times. So you know that. So that's a principle that you can know, and that'll help you try to interpret some difficult things. Number three, 10 toes. The last kingdom will be a collation of kingdoms. Okay, it's coalition. It's a coalition of kingdoms. It's the reason it's got 10 toes. You got Babylon, one king, Persia, one king, Greece, Alexander the Great. You got Rome, one king, you know, and then it had 2 legs. Well, that's interesting because it divided in 394 AD. Okay, but you have one king. But now you have this last king. It's 10 toes. You got 10 kingdoms. You got 10. It's a coalition that's going on here. All right, so that's a principle. Now, here's a speculation. Number four, I wrote this speculation. They will need, these 10 kingdoms will need a very strong leader to unite these nations. Because you got 10 nations. I mean, how are you going to run 10 nations? You're going to have a very strong leader to unite these 10 nations. All right? It's probably, we're guessing right now, it's going to be the Antichrist. We'll talk about that later. It's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to unite these nations. Number five, speculation. The coalition of nations may include Europe, North Africa, but not Iran. Just people say, where is it going to be? Where is it going to be? It's going to be in the United States. It's going to be in China. It's going to be in Brazil. It's going to be in Europe or North Africa. Now, how do we get that? Because the things where it's coming out of these legs, these iron legs, it's coming out of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire controlled Europe, North Africa, and all the way over into Iraq. But not Iran. Iran was in all the other kingdoms, but not this one. It's not a part. So everybody's worried about Iran. I don't know what's going to happen to it, but it's not here. Something's going to happen before this, my assessment. Now, that's speculation. It doesn't say it here. I'm making a judgment based on this information. Then number six, Christ personally will judge these nations at his second coming and establish his kingdom. Christ is going to come personally and judge these nations. All right. That's the statue. That's the statue. You ready for the beast? Okay, the beast, all right. Here we have the first beast. Now, in addition to the lessons of this prophecy of dirt, okay, the prophecy of dirt, you know what I'm referring to when I say the prophecy of dirt, in addition to these lessons from the prophecy of dirt, in Daniel 2, we have now new information to add to it. So we're going to add information. These are independent. We're adding information. So we're adding information. And the information we're adding is the vision of these four beasts. Now, these four beasts, and I think this vision is showing the attributes of these kingdoms and its leaders. The first statue was the kingdom of dirt. Okay, this is the dirt. Now we're going to see the attributes of these guys, the attributes of these kingdoms. And so this is a prophecy. These prophecy of beast is a prophecy of attributes. Okay, look, here's the first one. This is the first one. And this is the head of gold on the statue. This is the head of gold on the statue. This is Daniel 7:4. It says this. The first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked at its wings were plucked. And it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a mind of a man was given to it. All right? This is the Babylonian Empire, the golden head of the statue. This lion and the head of gold, same thing. It's the same thing. And you look at this, and it says it was a lion with wings. It's funny, if you look at the Babylonian architecture and stuff, and you'll see, if you look in the history, they have all these pictures of lions with wings on them. They have that. That was a typical structure, architecture, statues that they made. But he says his wings were plucked off, and then he was given the mind of a man and made to stand upright. What do we look at? Daniel 4. He lost his mind until he recognized God, and then God gave him all his power, and he glorified God, the only God in heaven. See? It's the first king. So it's just information, very detailed here. This is the Babylonian Empire. Okay, we're way back then. Then we have another beast. Here's another beast. Daniel 7:5. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. And it was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was a toll, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. Okay. This is the Persian Empire, the chest and the arms of silver on the statue in Daniel 2. So this is so it's had the quality of silver, but it is a bear. This is the bear, and that represents Persia. Then we go, another one, Daniel 7:6. After this, I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back, and the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given it. I love this picture. I don't know why, there's something about this picture I like. This is the Greco-Macedonian Empire established by Alexander the Great, and this is the middle and the thighs of bronze in the statue of Daniel chapter 2. Okay, now look at this. You've got this leopard, which is fast, and it's got wings, and it's got 4 heads. By the age of 30, Alexander the Great created one of the largest empires in the ancient world. And he, by the age of 30, it was incredibly how quick he did it and how fast it was. And the empire stretched all the way from Greece to India and had all of Persia. It's just a massive empire. And you see this when he died, the empire was broken up into 4 nations. Based on his 4 generals. So look at this. Look at the speed and look at the 4. There's the message. It had 4 heads, 4 generals, and that became 4 nations. Alexander died at 33. You know, after you conquer the world, what are you going to do? So he died at 43. He died at 33, and his 4 generals took over. So you have the 4 wings representing the speed, the 4 heads representing the generals that it was broken. Divided between. Now, I think one of the reasons the Lord shows you this, because this is all impacting the nation of Israel, but when you look at it, it's very precise. It's very precise. And so we know when we're looking at the Bible, this is very precise. The details count. The details count, okay? Now, we have another beast. And we don't know, sure, we don't have a good picture of this beast, all right? But here's the other beast. like this guy too. Says, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, we don't know exactly what this beast looked like. We really don't know. But so this was, Tim Pennington sent me this, and I thought, it'll work. This is good, all right? So it's terrifying, and it's dreadful, and it looks exceedingly strong, and it has 10 horns. Now, what the Bible says is this is the Roman Empire, okay? This is the iron legs of the statue in Daniel 2. And this empire had much of Europe as far as England, North Africa, as far as east as Iraq, and it was at its height in 117 AD. The empire was divided in two in 364 AD. Christ was born in this massive empire. This is where Christ was born, within this beast right here. Also, Paul was a citizen of Rome. So he could move out through the nation at free will because he was actually a citizen of this nation. Okay? And it's the Romans who crucified Christ. All right? So you have this picture. You have this picture here. Now, here we have another, we'll go and step in another point of gentlemanly disagreement. It's the horns. The 10 horns. Now, this beast, and I think it's a great picture of the beast, but I've read about different things of what this thing looked like. But when Daniel looked at this, the first thing he said is like, it scared him. This beast scared him. But what he said, he goes, what about the horns? What about the horns? And you look at this, the first thing you don't think about, or I didn't think about, was the horns. And certain people said they believed that this beast, as awful as it would, had massive like antlers or something on it. But there was something so distinguishing about the horns that you look at the beast, the first thing you noticed was the horns. And so there's something very, very specific about these horns. And so when Daniel talks, he says this, I consider, this is Daniel 7:8, and I considered the 10 horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. 4 of these were overthrown. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and it spoke a mouth speaking great things. So what you have is you have this picture of this beast, and Daniel goes, what about these horns? So he specifically identified these horns as separate. Now, as we read before here, this beast had 10 horns. Okay, and there's something specific about these 10 horns. The 10 horns and the 10 toes of the statue are the same thing. Okay? Start off Daniel 2. 10 toes, the statue, and the 10 horns are the same thing, whatever your view of that is. And this kingdom, these 10 horns, these 10 toes, the legs were iron, and so the toes and feet were iron and clay because there's strength and weakness applied to them. And so you have these 10 horns coming out of this beast. So the very substance of this kingdom is related to the old Roman Empire. It's focused on that empire. So that's information we have. That's important to know if you're trying to look at the interpretation. So the very substance of the Roman Empire is in these 10 horns. It's coming out of that. And also, this is the biggest point, one of the biggest points of disagreement, specifically over the identity of this kingdom of these 10 horns. Because there's a view, well, it's the 10 horns, therefore it's just an extension of the old kingdom, and so it's at the time of Christ, and they'll put it very closely associated with his crucifixion, that period of time. But others see it is associated with the statue, because we started with the statue where those are independent. That shows it more be independent, the 10 toes. So that's independent. And so it's separate. And therefore it's separate. And Jesus came back at his second coming and destroyed those 10 toes. You see how whatever comment, whatever decision we made about that statue impacts what we look at now. Because we're saying, no, it's the second coming Jesus came, and he destroyed the 10 toes, eradicated evil, and set his kingdom up on the dirt. Kingdom of dirt, okay? So if we believe that, then we look at these 10 horns and say, this 10 horns is that kingdom representing power coming out of that beast, which will be present when Jesus comes back. So it comes out of the old Roman Empire, but it is not the old Roman Empire. But it's going to come out in the future time out of Europe or North Africa or something that the old Roman Empire controlled. Now, the reason I want to go in it, that's the interpretive process. And so as you make decisions along that line, it impacts of how you're going to view the end times. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to go. So that helps you to understand as you're looking at it why people have different views. So I'm going to summarize what I see. I see that Jesus coming at his second coming, and he destroys the 10 toes, he eradicates evil, and he spreads his kingdom around the earth. Therefore, these 10 horns are these 10 toes that are going to be present when Jesus comes back, and he's going to destroy these 10 horns that represents and is coming out of this old Roman Empire. Okay? So that's a representation of the 10 toes. Now, you with me? I hate to say that, but they're processing, unfolding here. Here is something that going through this thing has fascinated me. So you have these 10 horns. What did we have in this 10 horns that was really strange? Okay, you had a little horn. You see, there's a little horn. What? Well, you got 10 horns, but you have a little horn. When you read Daniel 9 and 7, I mean, I encourage you to read Daniel 7 because it's going to talk more about this. But here it said, going back to Daniel 7, 8, and he said there was another horn, a little horn, all right? And it says it plucked up three horns, okay? That means he wiped them out. He got three. Three of what? Three of the 10. Three of the 10, okay? This little horn overthrew three of the 10 and said the other seven followed him. But this little horn, so you got this little horn, and this little horn speaks great things. Now what you have here in Daniel is it talks a lot about this little horn and who it is. And when I looked at this, and this is my surprise, is that how much I was aware of this, of the little horn, the Antichrist, but what I was not so aware of is what a prominent place he played. I mean, he is through scripture, all through Daniel, and all of a sudden you see him he's really spoken to a lot. Then you look in the New Testament and you see him again, and then you see him in the Revelation. So you got this little horn, the Antichrist. He really makes an impact on this earth. This is a bad dude, okay? This is not a happy camper, all right, this little horn. But he plays a very prominent place, and you can't overlook him. So now what I did, and this is from Daniel, I pulled together, without going through all the verses, I just pulled together the stuff in Daniel, what it says about this little horn. This little horn, all right? So we want to look at this little horn. And this is key. We want to understand the end times. We think, oh, the nations, is it come out of Rome? Is it do this? No, it's this guy. This guy is the center right here. He's the one that's going to be the key. The others will focus around him, but it's this fellow. And by the way, everyone across the board, in their end times view, believes there's a little horn. Okay, they disagree where he is and what he did and stuff, but they all agree that he showed up, okay, and worked his evil. So let's look at this. The little horn. Now, what I'm believing, because I'm saying it's part of the 10 toes, okay, it's part of the 10 toes, so I put it at the end of times when Jesus comes back because of what the assumption I made on that statue. So I'm putting it the little horn at the 10 toes when Jesus came back. And then the horns who represent the 10 toes, and he comes back, so he's coming back at the end. So it flows in my logic. Okay, that's how I get here. Other people can get other places, but that's how I got there. So this little horn is in the end times. This is the guy that's going to show up and wreak havoc in the world. This is the guy Jesus is personally going to destroy. All right, who is this guy? The last world-dominating king, the Antichrist. Antichrist means against Christ. Okay, so you can tell by his name how he is viewed. He's against Christ. You see an Antichrist spirit in the world? Because we're going to the Antichrist. He will be personified. He ultimately will be personified. Okay, and so we look at the attributes of the little horn, the Antichrist. Here are the attributes of this little horn. Number one, okay, dominating, evil, brutal, and terrifying. Just like, you know, he had a bad childhood or something. I don't know, okay? Dominating, evil, brutal, terrifying. And here's what it says in Daniel. He had eyes of a man. And he's talking about this horn. He had eyes of a man. The mouth speaking great things. Oh, he's going to be a talker, all right? A mouth speaking great things. He shall forcibly put down three kings, okay? He's going to exert his power. And he shall think to change the times and the law. That means all the times and all the law that we're comfortable with, he's going to come in and he's going to change the law. He's going to change the way we function, all right? And he's going to have the authority. Now, here's a New Testament verse in out of Revelations that refers to it in Revelations 13:7. And authority was given it, the little horn, over every tribe, people, language, and nation. There's a worldwide influence this guy has. All right. Number two, he's a God hater. Antichrist is a God hater. He shall speak, here's Al Daniel, he shall speak words against the Most High. So that means like, oh God, I don't believe in God. No, he's going to identify Jehovah. He's going to identify him specifically and speak against him. He's a God hater. He shall speak words against the Most High. Now, there's a couple of, pull this out of the New Testament, a couple of New Testament revelations that talks about him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, proclaiming himself to be God. Revelation 13:6. He opens his mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name. Okay, this guy has an agenda. Okay, now number three, he's a Christian hater. He's a Christian hater. Says this in Daniel, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, this reading this fast. Okay, you know, we talk about, you know, living the Christian life and Christian principles and God blessing us and great things going on. And that's exciting. We're all, and I'm probably somebody say, I wish you'd be preaching that right now, you know? Okay? That's not at this time. At this time, that's not what's happening. This is not what's happening. He will wear out the saints of the Most High. He wins. He looks like he's winning. See, he will make war with the saints and prevail over them. I mean, it's not good. He prevails over the saints. And they shall be given into his hand for times and a half time. That's 3 years. For 3 years, he's going to prevail over all the saints. All right? He's going to basically carry out a extermination of Christians, if you will. And he's going to prevail for 3.5 years. Now look at Revelations. We have a New Testament here, Revelations 13:5. It says, and by the way, the times and a half, that's in Daniel 7. But in Revelations 13:5, we have this. And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months, 3.5 years. Same guy. Same guy, doing the same thing. It's a wicked time. It's a wicked time. Revelations 13:7 says this. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. This is not a good time. Okay, so we've got this 3.5 year period where there is a devastation and a extermination, if you will, of believers. These are terrible times of the end times. Now, And it's a, and this, from this scripture here, it's a 3.5 year time frame where this takes place, based on what the scripture says here in Daniel. Again, we're just processing through as we look at this. Like, what do we do now? I mean, this doesn't look good. Number four. The Lord Jesus will kill him. You know, Jesus, I love the Sermon on the Mount, and, you know, Jesus sitting down, all the kids on his lap, and, you know, and, you know, just showing the love of Christ. He comes back as victor to do away and eradicate evil, and he personally kills the Antichrist. Jesus does. And you look at this in 4, and this is the time in the future. And so when will he come back? I go back to the statue in Daniel 2. This the uncut stone that hits the 10 toes, and the whole statue falls apart. Okay, Jesus will kill him. It says in Daniel 7, it says, but the court shall set in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away. So the court sits in judgment, and his dominion will be taken away. And this little horn, the Antichrist, or the lawless one, or the beast, was killed, and its body destroyed. So here you have where he is killed and his body was destroyed. Then you have in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, we'll jump to the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, it says this, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth. Revelations 19:20, he will be thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. So look at this last particular 3.5 times. This is an absolute outward attack, annihilation of the church of believers, that Jesus has to personally come back and destroy what's in authority and to exercise his authority throughout the world. It's a huge transformational time. That's the future, when the second coming of Christ. Now, what, you ever wonder what in the world is going on in heaven? You know, what's going on in heaven? Well, the Bible gives us a little clue of what's going on in heaven. This is progressing. This is happening on the earth. But in heaven, there's something going on at this time. And I have a little overhead here. We can try to, you know, it's impossible to depict this. It just is. But the movement in heaven before these terrible times of an end, there's a movement in heaven before this terrible time. The Ancient of Days, this is God, the Ancient of Days, this is all in Daniel 9, the Ancients of Days and the Son of Man are, I believe, also the rock cut by no human hand in Daniel chapter 2. Same thing, the Son of Man or the rock not cut by human hand that comes and destroys the 10 toes and the 10 horns. All right? So, this is happening in heaven. You have the Ancient of Days. And in Daniel 7, 9 through 10, it says this. As I looked, it's the same vision. You're seeing all these animals and stuff. Here's the same vision. As I looked, in Daniel 7, 9, as I looked, thrones were placed. This is in heaven. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. And the court sat in judgment, and the books were open. Now, if I could just picture this for you, what's happening, and this is at the end. This is the culmination at the very end. God, shown his Ancient of Days, with his courts are set. There's multitudes there, all right? There's multitudes there. The court's set, the throne's set, and it's like the books are open, and they take an assessment of what's going on in earth. Okay, so the Lord is very well aware of what's happening, and he's about to set judgment on what's happening on the earth. Then it says this, Daniel 7:13, and then came one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Everybody, universal, church-wide, believes this is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? The Son of Man comes. This is in heaven. He comes before the Ancient of Days. And it's shown that to Jesus is given all dominion, All dominion is to Jesus. Everything that God has, who God is shown place as Jesus. Now, this is a picture of Jesus eternally existing in the Trinity as God, you know, as God eternally existing. But this is a picture where you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, where you show that all authority of the God the Father is placed with God the Son, that he has all authority, just like God the Father. That's who Jesus is. And so Jesus is the one who's going to come, and he is the one that's going to deal with this, because he's given all dominion and glory in the kingdom. We go back to the statue. He comes back at the second coming, destroys the statue, and this whole kingdom is set up. It's his. It's his kingdom. It's his kingdom. Now, you see in the Gospels, you read in the Gospels, and Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man all the time. He's all the time. It's from this verse. This is the verse Jesus is referring to. It's Daniel 7:13. He goes, the Son of Man. Even when other people called him the Son of Man, they're going back to Daniel 7:13. This is the place where it's stated. So this is Jesus totally associated himself with this figure, with the Ancient of Days. And there should be a whole message preached on this. It is so powerful. It is probably one of the most powerful things in the scripture is this right here, okay? Because it shows the absolute deity of Christ and his authority and power, okay? But for right now, we'll just, okay, we believe that. And he's the one that's going to come, and he sets up his authority. But again, why it's important, because we think about Jesus and the little kids on his lap and loving everybody, and he gets crucified, and, you know, and our sins are forgiven. No, he's coming back. He's coming back to rule. To rule. I just add a little note and just came to mind, but it talks about us reigning with Christ. See, there's a reign in authority with Christ when he comes back. There's a powerful, you know, I mean, we may not all be sitting around with kids in our laps, okay? Some of your moms may be really happy about that. You know, there's a reigning with Christ in authority and a power, okay? And this is a view of the second coming of Christ. All dominion is given him. He comes back. Now, so Jesus refers to that. Now we look at Revelation 19. You write this down, Revelation 19, verse 11. And it gives us a little picture. What is this going to look at? We have the picture of Jesus with the little kids, the, you know, multiplying the loaves and preaching to the people on the cross. But this also is Jesus. This is Jesus at the second coming. Revelation 19, 11. Then I saw heaven open. Now, this is the New Testament. We're jumping way to the New Testament. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. All right. This is, you know, talk about, hey, you're going to pay the piper? We're all going to pay the piper. Okay? We're going to pay. I mean, it that's the reality. Oh, we'll just go and whatever. They ain't no one ever is here. Oh, I'll just go to hell and all my friends are there. I don't know. This ain't going to be fun. You know, your friends ain't going to enjoy it, and neither are you. You know, this is, there's an element, and this is the reason, I think one of the reasons the Lord shows us this is like, wait a minute, you better use your time here wisely, because I'm cashing in, okay, and I'm telling you what it looks like. You need to understand what's happening. I'm coming back. Now, well, so here we have that set up. But then it gives us a little glimpse. The eternal victory by Jesus after the terrible times. So it gives us that view. In the statue, he hit the 10 toes. That kingdom is destroyed. The Antichrist is destroyed. All of the kingdoms of the world are crushed. But there's a huge mountain that fills the whole earth. And this is the kingdom of Christ. This is the great mountain. And so here you have in Daniel 7:18, it says this. Praise Jesus for this verse, Daniel 7:18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. We win. This happens, but we win. We will possess this kingdom forever and ever and ever. Now, so it shows the establishment of this kingdom is going to happen. And then you go back to some of the verses in Revelations, and it's when it says the Antichrist will make war and he will conquer. And it says, and there's one verse that says, and the righteous will die. You know? And I mean, it's like, okay, where's a footnote that says, and they live happily ever after? You know, I mean, it's not there. But what it is, it's here. And it's also in the New Testament. It's also in the book of Revelations. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. That's our heritage. That's our heritage. Our heritage, and this is the reason, one reason to look at this. Our heritage is not here. It's not, hey, we're all, like, nobody raised their hand. Everybody trying to make a house payment. Everybody working, trying to make ends meet. The Bible says that, yeah, everybody, you know, I'm looking for a place of retirement. This is not our heritage. God has promised through Scripture, he's going to burn everything up. It's not going to last. But there is a kingdom for eternity where we reign with Christ. And so our mindset should have eternity in perspective. Not retirement, not the house payment. Eternity. And we have eternity in perspective, then it impacts how we deal with everything else. Everything else. Now, I went through that, whizzed through Daniel 9. I'll tell you something. As I was looking through this, and I thought, Lord Jesus, how in the world do you present this? And then I'm looking, and then I was thinking about other things I could skip. You know, I could skip things. We're going to do this for 8 weeks, all right? And it's going to be different. Every session is going to be different, but it's going to be tied to Daniel, and it's going to affect us today, but we're going to see it together, and then we'll be able to put our hands around, you know, of what God is calling on us today, on us to. And I think that, and the Bible says you will be encouraged. That's what the Bible says. So I'm trusting Jesus says that we'll be encouraged. Now, what I want to do quickly, remember the six principles I opened up with based on the statue, all right? Just based on that statue, we had six principles. Now I've added to those six principles what we've learned with these attributes of the beast. So we expanded our basis of interpretation based on what I see there. And if you disagree with me on certain points, you can see where you disagree, and you know, and you can work with that also. But let's go through those six principles so as you're looking through the Old Testament, you can have an understanding of the future, all right? The first one. Principle number one, okay? So we combine the prophecy of dirt, the statue, and the attributes, you know, the prophecy of the beast. Number one, the first mentioned principle that hadn't changed, that started with Daniel chapter 2. So that's key in this interpretation. Number two, 10 toes, Daniel chapter 2. 10 crowns, 10 kings, 10 nations, 10 horns, Daniel chapter 7. It's end times, okay? All these typically reflect end time view, so it's consistent with the statue. Number three, 10 toes. That's Daniel chapter 2. The last kingdom will be a coalition of nations, more clearly defined as 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7. Okay, you see where I get that. Daniel 7, 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings. The 10 horns are 10 kings. It tells us what it is. Number four, okay, speculation, all right? Speculation. They will need, this coalition of nations, they will need a very strong leader to unite these nations, probably the Antichrist. What we have in Daniel 7, chapter 7, verse 20 through 21, the little horn, dominating, evil, brutal, terrifying, God-hater, Christian-hater, proclaims himself to be God. The Lord Jesus will kill him. This is the guy that's going to pull it together. He's going to be ruthless, and he's going to pull it together. And the only one that's going to be able to deal with him is Jesus. Okay? Number five, speculation. The coalition of nations may be Europe, North Africa, but not Iran. Okay, people are always asking, where's the Antichrist coming from? Okay, I believe it's coming out of Europe, North Africa. I mean, it has to be. It's not Brazil. I mean, it'll just throw my whole interpretation process off if it's Brazil. Okay, it is not the United States. It is not going to be the United States. This guy is going to come out of Europe, North Africa, someplace in that area. Based on this interpretation, the ten horns came directly from the fourth beast or the Roman Empire. However, the statue of Daniel identifies these kingdoms as related but separate from the Roman Empire. All right? Now, number six, Christ, the rock in Daniel chapter 2. Personally will judge these nations at his second coming and will establish his kingdom. Daniel 7:13-14. A never-ending kingdom will be established. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Jesus will kill the little horn. Revelation 19:11. Jesus will strike down the nations. Now, so there it is. There's Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 7. Some believe this has already took place. Some believe it's in the future. Each argument has holes in it. I mean, I can't believe you think that some of my arguments would have holes in it, but, you know, some of these are, each argument has holes in it. I personally believe, it's 10 toes in Jesus' second, it's all future. I just personally believe that. If it is future, okay, we pay attention in majestic awe as the nations align themselves and reveal this evil world leader that Jesus will destroy. But, here's a big but, we cannot forget our assignment. What is our assignment? And look at what Jesus told the disciples. And this is what we got to take to heart. This is information God wants us to know. And he had already put a little, you know, fear and trembling in us. Like, no, I'm moving. And I'm doing that this. I'm doing stuff now. But there's going to be an accounting. I am going to come back. And it's not going to be everyone's going to know when he comes back. But here's a verse for us today. And it's the same thing that Jesus told the disciples. Now, the disciples had a good view of Daniel. Paul had a good view of Daniel. They knew the Old Testament. And so here are the disciples before Jesus ascends, okay? And in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, it says this. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, says, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What are they saying? They're Old Testament. They are old. That's an Old Testament mindset. I mean, they've only hung out with Jesus for 3 years. I mean, he's crucified, gone to heaven, come back. And you think, oh, wow, we made it these 3 years. And now, Jesus, when are you going to come back and establish the kingdom? When are you going to establish the kingdom? Like in Daniel 2, where you destroyed everything and covered the whole world. See, that's what they were saying. Jesus answered them. He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you and everybody in Broadlands Community Church, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And you're going to spread the gospel with the supernatural power of Christ, and people will come to know him, and they will be caught up in heaven, and they won't have to serve this because of your witness full of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's your job. That's your assignment. See, that's what we're supposed to do. And we should be motivated because, like, oh, good gravy. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's like you see somebody's house on fire, you know. It's, well, let's go have a cup of tea and then we'll come back and we'll tell them later, you know. Or, you know, maybe we should just, you know, I'll go home and call them on the phone. Yeah. No, there's an urgency. Well, that's the reason. There's an urgent. God says, no. And all through the New Testament, you see Paul and all the disciples, there was an urgency. And there's an urgency because you have received power. You've received all of me, all of who I am, and it's come upon you, and you will be my witnesses that I am the Christ, that I am the Savior of the world. And I will ultimately come back, but it's going to be to destroy the world. But now, your assignment is that I'm here to save the world. And our message is, oh, we love our message, don't we? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. I know God says, you know, I know what I got to do. I have to destroy evil and everybody in it. And I will. I have to do that. But God so loved the world. He gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, man, I just want to throw out the net. I want to pull everybody in. I don't want to see anybody go through this. And I don't want to see anybody separated for eternity. And you're my witnesses. You know, you have your basketball and somebody give you a bounce pass, you know, and then you got it. God gave us the bounce pass. You're my witnesses. You have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When we stand up, we need a praise song or something. We need a praise song or something. We're going to look. Next week, we'll look at the 70 weeks, and that's in Daniel chapter 9. And it gives a time frame. There's a time frame given there. And then we'll talk about how the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our ministry right now, and God specifically tells us what to do. And then we'll look at certain signs that God tells us, you know, and then we're going to look at the whole angelic world, how that works together. And then we'll look one more time at this Antichrist, okay? This guy he's just mentioned in Scripture a lot. Mention it, and God warns us about him, and he tells us about him. So I feel obligated to share him with you. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word, Lord. You are powerful. You're coming back. Lord Jesus, you loved us so much. Everybody in here has so experienced your touch. You love them. You've touched their hearts. You said, no, you're in my kingdom. I've pulled you out of this. You will not suffer the wrath of God because I'm pulling you into my kingdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.